Right now, it's time for Armed American Radio's Daily Defense with Mark Walters.
The Martin B-26 Marauder. You ever heard of it? The Martin B-26 Marauder. Much maligned aircraft. Bomber during World War II. While loved dearly by its crews, it was given names such as the Widowmaker, One-Way Ticket, Martin Murderer, the Flying Coffin, the Coffin Without Handles because of its short wingspan, and the B-Dash Crash. According to B-26.com, there were so many takeoff accidents down at MacDill Field in Tampa, Florida, during early 1942 that the phrase, one a day into Tampa Bay, came to be a commonplace lament. On November 3rd, 1943, a formation of the 323rd Bomb Group's B-26s, led by a 22-year-old Captain Anthony Tony Geiser, who was heading up the formation as pilot of the lead aircraft, along with his crew, second pilot, First Lieutenant Shallender L. Lesher, he was 26 years old, navigator, First Lieutenant Thomas Savino, no age known on Mr. Savino, bombardier, First Lieutenant Maxwell Stadler, he was 23, radio operator, Sergeant William G. Fortwängler, he was 32, gunner, Sergeant Pellegrino P. Lombardo, he was 23, and tail gunner, Sergeant James R. Kitchell, he was 23. It's a young crew, obviously. They took off for a mission to destroy Amsterdam's Schiphol airfield that was being run by the Nazis. This from an unknown family member of Lieutenant Lesher's family. He was the co-pilot or second pilot. After the U.S. entered the war, aircraft were stationed in England in order to attack Germany by day. The strategic role of Amsterdam Schiphol airfield grew, and the Germans stationed day fighters, mainly Messerschmitt 109s and Focke-Wulf 190s, at the base, which were ordered to attack the U.S. formations on their way to Germany. This airfield was the nearest to the North Sea, and therefore the shortest to the U.S. aircraft on their way. The airfield became a threat to the U.S. aircraft and had to be bombed. On July 29th, 1943, B-26s of the 323rd Bomb Group tried to attack this airfield for the first time, but that mission failed due to improper landfall. I'm not sure what that means. On October 3rd, 1943, the mission was repeated with two bomb groups, and Schiphol was bombed, but the damage was not large. A next mission was planned on October 16th, 1943, but the mission was scrapped at the last minute. And on November 3rd, 1943, 18 B-26s of the 322, the 323, the 386, and the 387th bomb group took off in the afternoon to attack this heavily defended airfield. At about 15:50 hours, the B-26s started their bomb run, and as is reported from witnesses, all hell broke loose as the German flak burst all around those bombers. Of course, the Germans tried to do everything in order to protect their important base. The 322nd Bomb Group was the first to attack, thereafter the 387th Bomb Group, after which came the 323rd Bomb Group that was being led by Captain Anthony Tony Geiser and his crew. From a missing crew report later, the formation made a 90-degree turn to the target. As they approached the start point of the bomb run, fire from ground defense positions became intense. This formation was under fire from 7 known permanent and 6 gun batteries and from additional mobile flak in the area. In addition to the direct fire, a barrage of HFF was seen ahead of the formation along the course it would have to fly on the bombing run. To the start of the bombing run, the formation used evasive tactics, and Captain Geiser successfully kept his element in position and in the face of intense opposition. Approximately 5 seconds after the bombing run began, the left wing of Captain Geiser's ship was hit by a close burst of heavy flak. Immediately, a long stream of fire swept back from the wing and began to spread. At this point in the bombing run, it was imperative for the success of the mission to keep that aircraft under control and in formation. If the airplane had swung sharply, either to the left or right, there was danger of a collision. And in any event, the formation would have been broken up and the effectiveness of the bombing attack destroyed. Captain Geiser immediately feathered his left propeller and by brilliant flying techniques kept his ship on course and in formation. With the ship under control, he proceeded to lose altitude very slowly, and that was to minimize danger to the other airplanes in the formation if his airplane exploded. The fire along the right wing was spreading despite efforts taken to bring it under control. It was clear to observers in the formation that the airplane was doomed. Needless to say, the aircraft known as Jake's Jerks, quoted, "Bursting into flames, it dropped out of formation and fell rapidly with the wing off. No one was seen to leave the airplane." It was reported by witnesses in the formation that Captain Geiser eased the aircraft out of formation to save countless lives on board other aircraft in his formation, in his group. He would later be posthumously awarded a Distinguished Service Cross for his actions that day. Believe it or not, there is actually one known photograph of Captain Anthony Geiser's aircraft going down in flames, taken aboard another aircraft in his formation. That photo appears in the book B-26 Marauder at War by Roger Freeman. I have seen the photograph. The crew's remains would later be placed in shallow graves by Germans. On November 12th and 13th, 1943, the remains of that crew were put in coffins and were buried in the Amsterdam New Eastern Cemetery on November 15th, 1943, at 3:30 in the afternoon. On February 26th, 1946, the remains were taken to Belgium for further identification. On January 29th, 1949, Sergeant Kitchell was buried at Margraten. Sergeant Fortwängler was buried April 28th, 1949, at Neuville. The others were transported to the USA and were buried on January 29th, 1951, at the Arlington National Cemetery in Section 12, in graves marked 60, 61, and 62, I believe, where they belonged. Known as collective grave sites, the stones are etched with the names of the flight crews, who, of course, often went down together. I've been to that gravesite. I've stared at that headstone. I've prayed for the crew, and I've silently thanked them for what they gave up that afternoon during a bombing run to help destroy Hitler's lethal war machine. I've been there. I've heard stories of Captain Geiser since I was a small child. I heard the details of the family being notified of his death and how devastated Tony's family was. His sister told me herself. You see, Captain Geiser, the 22-year-old hero piloting that warbird on November 3rd, 1943, was my grandmother's brother, my dad's uncle, therefore my great-uncle, an American hero of the greatest generation. I'm sure you have your own hero in your family, also from that or any other generation. Most of us do. Without them, we wouldn't be here today talking about our rights, nor would we be a free nation. So today, as each of us remembers not only our own Tony Geiser, we remember all of America's fallen heroes from every generation. Without them, life would be very different. I'll leave you with a moment of silence to remember your Tony Geiser as we head into the break on Memorial Day.
Way too often we hear stories of law-abiding gun owners being labeled as vigilantes and the violent thugs being painted as sweet, harmless kids. Here's the thing. If you own a firearm and are forced to use it to protect your loved ones, your toughest battle might very well happen afterwards in the courtroom. You need to know your rights and understand exactly what happens after the smoke clears. And that's the reason the United States Concealed Carry Association exists. So if you go to DefendFamilyNow.com right now, you can download our groundbreaking guide that will arm you with 18 proven strategies for effective self-defense that will help you stay out of jail, out of bankruptcy court, and home with your family when you're forced to defend your loved ones with a gun. This guide is 100% free, and the 18 strategies it contains could very well save your life one day. Simply visit DefendFamilyNow.com to download your 100% free guide. Again, that's DefendFamilyNow.com.
The Second Amendment Foundation has grown into what many believe to be the most important gun rights organization in America. With hundreds of thousands of active members, it is the Second Amendment Foundation defending your rights in courtrooms across the nation. Winning these battles in local jurisdictions all the way to the Supreme Court requires tireless effort and help from you. Please help the Second Amendment Foundation defend your freedoms by joining or donating today at saf.org. Join us at saf.org. Thank you.
Emerson Knives is the first company completely dedicated to producing knives for self-defense, law enforcement, and military applications. The Emerson CQC-7 is the most influential tactical folder of all time. Carried in places not found on any roadmap, the CQC-7 should be carried whether you're at a movie with your family or kicking in doors in Iraq. The CQC-7 is on duty with the select few who have known the chaos of conflict. For your own CQC-7, visit EmersonKnives.com. That's EmersonKnives.com.
The Magnum Research Baby Desert Eagle family of handguns. Excellent handgun protection with plenty of firepower. With a crisp double-action, single-action trigger pull. And available in 9mm, 40 Smith & Wesson, and 45 ACP. The Baby Desert Eagle handgun line comes in several barrel lengths. And your pick of steel or polymer frame. All models come with slide-mounted decocking safety, upgraded fixed combat sights, and several models feature tactical rails. Visit MagnumResearch.com or your local dealer today.
The Super Tuck by Crossbreed Holsters, the most comfortable and concealable holster available on the market today. Is it any wonder why it's the most copied design on the planet? Used by law enforcement and civilians around the world, the Super Tuck by Crossbreed is adjustable for ride depth and cant, often imitated but never duplicated. The Super Tuck holster is available for a wide variety of popular carry guns. For more information and to order your Super Tuck, visit CrossbreedHolsters.com. That's CrossbreedHolsters.com.
Carrying spare magazines is always a great idea. The Crossbreed holster outside the waistband mag carrier is the most comfortable OWB rig on the market today. The Crossbreed mag carrier provides great retention and a high ride, enabling total concealment and immediate access under only a light cover garment. Available for single or dual magazines, these incredibly comfortable magazine carriers may just save your life one day. Crossbreed holsters, often imitated but never duplicated. To order your Crossbreed mag carrier, visit CrossbreedHolsters.com. That's CrossbreedHolsters.com.
Hey, what's up? It's AAR Shanto here. Every day you hear the passion that we have for freedoms here in America. I also have other passions, and every week you can check out what that passion is. I've started a new web series. Yes, believe it or not, with all the other things that I have going on, I went and did it. I started a web series, and I think you're going to like it. If you want to see one of my hobbies, all you got to do is check out IRFnews.com. That's IRFnews.com.
Right now, it's time for Armed American Radio's Daily Defense with Mark Walters.
Welcome back to the program. Needless to say, I hope you're enjoying your day off. I hope you're having a great day today, but I hope you remember why you're able to do that. It's men and women like Tony Geiser who afford us the ability to do and say and think what we do and say and think because of their selfless sacrifices. Amazing. 22 years old. That's quite a story, Sean. Proud to be able to call him my great uncle, you know. Sean, I believe you were with me at Arlington. Did we not stop and see Tony's grave?
I think we did. I think it was me, you, and Tim.
I believe it was. I believe you were there, yeah, because I went over and looked it up while we were there. We had a break. What we're talking about, Sean and I were at Washington, D.C. back in 2010, attending the Second Amendment March.
Yes.
And after the march, we had some time before everybody got back to the hotels and flew out the next day. And those of us who were able to spend an extra day in Washington, we took the little tram or trolley, if you will, right, over there to Arlington.
Yeah, we took the metro.
Spent some time over there, and if I'm not mistaken, I think we went over and saw Tony's grave, and I was able to tell that story. It's a fascinating story. I had to kind of shrink it down a little bit, you know, for the segment.
Mm-hmm.
But there's more to that. It fascinates me that there's a photograph of that taken in 1943 during that bombing run from one of the other aircraft in the formation. You know, his was the only aircraft lost that day.
Mm.
And it, in a weird twist, his regular aircraft, was out of commission.
Wow.
And he literally borrowed another pilot's who was off that day, wasn't running that mission, borrowed his aircraft because he didn't want to miss flying and leading that formation.
Mm.
And he promised the other captain he would bring the aircraft back without a scratch. Needless to say, 3 to 4 hours later, his aircraft exploded in midair as it was going down. But everybody on that mission that day that survived it credited their survival to his actions of staying in that formation as long as he could so that that bombing run was completed before he eased out of that formation and got away from the group in the event his aircraft did explode, which in fact it did on its way down. And of course, no one was seen exiting, parachuting out of that airplane. And their remains, fortunately, were found and were brought back to the United States. Two of them remain buried overseas. But that's the Greatest Generation, man. 22 years old. The average age on that aircraft was 23 or 24. You had a 32-year-old in there.
And you know what's really telling? Now we say 22 is still a kid. But back then they were flying missions to defeat Hitler and his regime. I mean,
and they were kids then, too.
They were kids, but I mean, think about that, you know.
Well, yeah, I do. I mean, 22 is still 22. It doesn't matter what year it is. I do believe, obviously, there's a maturity difference between the 1940s and today.
Exactly.
No doubt about that. No question about that. Yeah, those were men.
Yeah.
Those were men. No question. And look, we have, and I know many of them, and I love them dearly. some of whom work with me and some who work with our great sponsors. I know these people well, who have done their time at very young age. And those are men. Mm-hmm. And they grow up quickly. I know one with his tattoo of his name on his forearm. Ask him why his name is tattooed on his forearm. His fear was being blown up and no one knowing who he was.
Wow.
I want you to think about about that. Oh, think about that. That you've got to think about that.
Yeah.
In your early 20s. That's your fear. But we wouldn't be here today. Today is a day that we celebrate. We spend time with family and friends. We barbecue. We do everything. And that's great. But that's why we're able to do it. So, have your own Tony Geiser. I know you do in your family. And just remember today, take that time and thank those who gave everything so that we can sit here and have this conversation. Sean, go ahead.
You know, my wife asked me yesterday about the holiday. She asked me, because she's from the Philippines. And she asked me, what was the significance of the holiday? I said, that's the day that we honor the people who gave their lives for us to survive, really, the world. I mean, we're talking World War II against the Nazis. Well, military in general. But
yeah, well, there were many wars prior to that, and there were are many wars after that, of course. And unfortunately, there will be wars that we are unaware of that no doubt we will have to fight. I can only hope, I'll throw the politics in here, that we get out of this administration in one piece. As I saw just a report literally just moments before we went airborne today, that China and Russia in less than 3 years will own air superiority globally above and beyond the United States. They will replace us as the dominant air power on the planet. And that's frightening. That's absolutely frightening. So this is a nation we should remain dominant. But unfortunately, we have a president that loathes using our military for that. That's not just not a conversation we're going to have today. But
it's because of the mentality that we have now. You don't take up for yourself, you run. I mean, you think about it. The gun haters and all these gun control advocates, that's what they're advocating.
Let me tell you something. There's one here.
Stuff. I mean, it's insane.
In an opinion piece for the Dallas Morning News, University of Texas at Austin, imagine that, Professor John Traffigan, we'll call him John T., said that the, quote, solution to gun-related crime is not further arming the public. While many Americans don't go out and kill people and safely store their guns, the bad apples are spoiling things. He says, the article is titled, Professor Says America Has Proven Its Inability to Handle Widespread Gun Ownership. This guy's just a basic threefold kook. As a whole, he said, Americans do not seem to be able to handle gun ownership in a way that permits maintenance of a civil society. The reality is that the significant numbers of bad apples have spoiled it for those law-abiding gun owners, and it's time that gun rights organizations, such as the NRA, recognize this and begin working with those who want realistic gun control laws, in part as a way of building trust with those who do not own guns. In other words, agree with me or else. Well, John Traffigan has apparently missed all of the statistics and all of the research. America is well-armed today, always has been, always will be. Crime rates are dropping, and gun ownership is at record levels. Mr. Traffigan, you are today's Bonehead of the Week. When we come back, I'll tell you a story about people who are glad they had guns. Don't go away.
My house. Where are you guys? Even in a clear-cut case of self-defense, a single bullet could cost you more than you think. As a responsible American, you shouldn't have to fear unjust prosecution for using your gun in self-defense. That's why the USCCA Self-Defense Shield is here for you. The most comprehensive insurance-backed protection to help you take control and eliminate the threat of legal and financial ruin when you're forced to defend your loved ones. As a USCCA member, your Self-Defense Shield coverage will give you up to $600,000 to help you get the expert defense you deserve. This member benefit is backed by an A-rated insurance company. Your membership also includes a subscription to Concealed Carry Magazine, all for as little as $12 per month. Your membership is 100% risk-free thanks to our bulletproof 365-day money-back guarantee. Visit carry123.com to learn more and get a free 24-page concealed carry guide. Visit carry123.com and take control today. That's carry123.com.
Way too often we hear stories of law-abiding gun owners being labeled as vigilantes and the violent thugs being painted as sweet, harmless kids. Here's the thing. If you own a firearm and are forced to use it to protect your loved ones, your toughest battle might very well happen afterwards in the courtroom. You need to know your rights and understand exactly what happens after the smoke clears. And that's the reason the United States Concealed Carry Association exists. So if you go to defendfamilynow.com right now, you can download our groundbreaking guide that will arm you with 18 proven strategies for effective self-defense that will help you stay out of jail, out of bankruptcy court, and home with your family when you're forced to defend your loved ones with a gun. This guide is 100% free, and the 18 strategies it contains could very well save your life one day. Simply visit defendfamilynow.com to download your 100% free guide. Again, that's defendfamilynow.com.
Known as a bad-to-the-bone fighter with a rebel soul and a rock and roll attitude, the Roadhouse from Emerson Knives is destined to be a classic. Designer Ernest Emerson says the Roadhouse is one of his best designs ever. Just like a chopped Harley, it's low-slung and ready to roar. It feels like you've just dropped the clutch and it's ready to jump out of your hand. The Roadhouse from Emerson Knives is a must-have tactical folder. Visit EmersonKnives.com. That's EmersonKnives.com. One of the few guns that fits comfortably in your pocket, the North American Arms Guardian 32 ACP is the perfect combination of small size, high quality, and great stopping power. Convenient, reliable, and very effective. North American Arms stands behind the Guardian 32 ACP with a lifetime warranty. With standard capacity of 6 plus 1 rounds in a pistol less than 4 inches in length, the Guardian ACP ships with two magazines and offers an optional 10-round capacity extended magazine. For more information, visit NorthAmericanArms.com. That's NorthAmericanArms.com.
Way too often we hear stories of law-abiding gun owners being labeled as vigilantes and the violent thugs being painted as sweet, harmless kids. Here's the thing. If you own a firearm and are forced to use it to protect your loved ones, your toughest battle might very well happen afterwards in the courtroom. You need to know your rights and understand exactly what happens after the smoke clears. And that's the reason the United States Concealed Carry Association exists. So if you go to defendfamilynow.com right now, you can download our groundbreaking guide that will arm you with 18 proven strategies for effective self-defense that will help you stay out of jail, out of bankruptcy court, and home with your family when you're forced to defend your loved ones with a gun. This guide is 100% free, and the 18 strategies it contains could very well save your life one day. Simply visit defendfamilynow.com to download your 100% free guide. Again, that's defendfamilynow.com.
Back to Armed American Radio's Daily Defense with Mark Walters.
Make sure to head over to USCCA on Air, USCCA on AIR. Activate a membership to United States Concealed Carry Association, get the best gun magazine in the world, and become a part of the nation's number one resource for the responsibly armed citizen. And insure yourself in the event you are ever forced to use a firearm to defend your life or that of a loved one. But 6 days left now to take advantage of the new promotion. 4 lucky grand prize winners. You'll see it on the site. Win a whole slew of cool stuff worth thousands of dollars. There will be 4 grand prize winners and 20 runner-ups. So head over to USCCA On Air. Also, make sure to check out crossbreedholsters.com, the Super Tuck, the best holster there is on the market. We did a great giveaway last night, Crossbreed Holsters. We did on the national program yesterday, the Facebook giveaway. Well, who won that, Sean? Somebody out of Turlock, California won that. Turlock, California won the shooter's pack, choice of a shooter's pack or a concealed carry pack. That consisting of an outside-the-waistband holster, an outside-the-waistband magazine carrier, and a custom gun belt. That's the shooter's pack. The concealed carry pack is the same thing, but with a super tuck inside-the-waistband holster for the gun of your choice. So make sure to check out our great sponsors. We wouldn't be here if it wasn't for them. Meet Marco Ricaldone, a North Miami, Florida licensed paramedic and an all-around nice guy. I know because I've spoken to him. By all accounts, he's a hero. He's a lifesaver. He's one of those folks who come to our aid when we need it most. Working throughout the night when most of us are fast asleep, Marco is the man who shows up to help us in our darkest hour. When you are desperate for life-saving assistance, it's Marco and his colleagues who you can count on for help. He's an EMT, of course. By the very nature of his chosen field, he is dedicated to the preservation of life. And Marco has dedicated himself to helping others in need. A hero indeed. At 28 years old, when this incident occurred, Marco was beyond his years in compassion. And it shone through during the conversations I had with him, some of which were pierced by the wailing sirens of his vehicle as he rushed to someone's aid. It was hard to track him down. He's also a man who has been tested, having administered aid to the victims of senseless crimes and tended to the fallen victims of gunfire on the mean streets of Miami. He never believed he would one day be forced to fire a weapon in his own act of self-preservation. He never believed it. They never do. I had spoken to Marco several times prior to arranging our first real formal interview and was aware of the outline of events that transpired to him with him on January 13, 2008. And as usual, as I've told you before, I'm spellbound by the details as they emerge during our conversations and sometimes very graphic discussions, but never shocked anymore. I've been playing this rodeo game for a long time. Every Wednesday on his night off, Marco would relax and share the camaraderie of friends and fellow car enthusiasts as a member of a local Volkswagen Audi car club down in Miami. For him, it was a relief from working the tough and often inhospitable streets of Miami. It's hot down there. During his weekly meetings, Marco befriended a young lady and her husband, Jennifer and Emmanuel, and just for your information, names have been changed in this tale. After about 2 months, Jennifer showed up to one of the club meetings without her husband. She informed Marco that her relationship with Emmanuel had deteriorated and that the couple had separated and filed for divorce. After exchanging phone numbers, Marco and Jennifer began communicating outside of the gatherings and began enjoying some time together. One day, the text messages, though, and harassment began. I guess you can see what direction this is heading, right? Their movie outings were frequently interrupted by harassing phone calls and continuous text messages. "I know where you are," said one of the menacing texts as the cell phone alerted another message. "It'll be a cold day in hell before the two of you are together." Those were coming in constant. Marco told me her husband worked with computers and would follow her by tracking her expenditures online. He knew where we were. I began to realize this guy was crazy. I started receiving threatening text messages like, "Stay away from her or you're dead." He would get drunk and send threats, then apologize when he was sober, saying things like, "I would never do anything like that, man. I would never do anything like that. I'm sorry." Now, Sean, I'm not one to judge.
Yeah.
You know, you know what mistake number one was made here, okay?
Yes.
I won't sit and analyze this. You can read the analysis from the experts from the book itself. But it's my own personal opinion that, well, I won't give you my personal opinion. You can figure it out. It seemed that cars were not Emmanuel's only passion. And it was confirmed by Jennifer that Emmanuel was an avid firearms owner. And Marco told me, he said, I found out he had around 17 guns or something like that. Whenever we were together, he said, the messages and calls would come in. I had never been a gun owner, a handgun anyway. I'd always wanted a pistol, and this seemed like the right time. So I headed out to Bass Pro Shop and purchased a Springfield XD. Took it to the range and loved it. I began keeping my new gun loaded on the nightstand in case this guy ever decided to show up. Clearly, Marco was feeling threatened by the not-yet ex-husband. As the threats showed no signs of subsiding, Marco began asking Jennifer to stay at his house. He later informed me that, and I quote, her parents never locked the doors, and what was happening just didn't seem to bother them. The threats against her, he was referring to. They had found out that Emmanuel had recently quit his job for what appeared to be no apparent reason whatsoever. Marco told me, he said, I knew when I found out he had quit his job that something was way wrong. This guy wasn't right. Taking him up on his offer that Friday evening, Jennifer agreed to spend the night for her own safety at Marco's house. It continues. After an uneventful evening with nothing more than common text message harassment, as if that's common, Marco and Jennifer awoke and decided to have some stress-free fun for the day. He says, we went to the mall, then to a movie, then the text messages and the calls began again. He knew where they were. He was watching them. Jennifer answered Emmanuel's calls in an attempt to appease him by trying to keep him calm, a common tactic, by the way, in stalking cases. Experts will tell you that it never works, and this case was no exception. Marco and Jennifer agreed to shut the phone off and not deal with this guy today, was the quote. They arrived back at Marco's condominium, and after an enjoyable dinner, the two fell asleep at approximately 12:30 a.m. Marco had left his Springfield on the nightstand, chambered and ready to bark in the event there was trouble. Jennifer's little 22 lie quietly next to the larger Springfield, smaller in stature, yet ready to roar to life if necessary. Marco says, that's when I heard it, he told me, and I'll never forget him saying it. That's when I heard it. It sounded like some kind of explosion outside. I was asleep, and the only thing I remember was this explosion. I jumped up and I grabbed my gun. I had no idea what it was. No clue. I remember grabbing my gun and walking out of the bedroom into the living room, he told me. Looking out at the large window in the front, Marco could see the silhouette of a large man, quoting, with the light behind him, standing just outside on the balcony. He said it looked like a movie, man. It was surreal. Just a shadow behind the curtain. It was surreal. Not believing what was happening, and with absolutely no time to think, Marco decided to fire a warning shot into the wall between the window and the door in a futile attempt to scare away the intruder. Pow! The XD roared to life, sending a 9mm Federal Hydroshock round into the wall just inches away from the prowler. I'll leave you hanging with that when we come back. I'll tell you how it ends here on the Armed American Radio Network's Daily Defense. But this never happens, does it?
Emerson Knives is the first company completely dedicated to producing knives for self-defense, law enforcement, and military applications. The Emerson CQC-7 is the most influential tactical folder of all time. Carried in places not found on any roadmap, the CQC-7 should be carried whether you're at a movie with your family or kicking in doors in Iraq. The CQC-7 is on duty with the select few who have known the chaos of conflict. For your own CQC-7, visit EmersonKnives.com. That's EmersonKnives.com.
Beginning this year, Magnum Research Incorporated, a car arms-owned company, is proud to bring the Baby Desert Eagle 2 back to the U.S. market. The Baby Desert Eagle 2 offers a double-action, single-action trigger and plenty of firepower. Available in 9mm, 40 S&W, and 45 ACP, several barrel lengths, and either steel or polymer frame. The Baby Desert Eagle 2 is an exceptional handgun value. For more information, visit MagnumResearch.com today. That's MagnumResearch.com.
Hi, it's Mark, and I hope you're enjoying this week's broadcast. You know, over the last several weeks, you've heard me mentioning a website, usccaonair.com. We have some amazing sponsors here on this program, and one of them, the United States Concealed Carry Association, helped create this program. Since that time, just like Armed American Radio, the USCCA has exploded in growth to become the nation's number one resource for the responsibly armed citizen. The USCCA has also become famous for their promotions, as if you needed more incentive to join the United States Concealed Carry Association. Free guns, thousands of dollars in merchandise, and free ammunition, etc. to lucky promotion winners. You, too, can win by simply visiting the website usccaonair.com. usccaonair.com. That site is reserved for you as an Armed American Radio listener to keep you updated on their latest promotions. Now, I'll tell you about the promos on every program, but you can still check for yourself by visiting usccaonair.com. Don't miss out.
The Second Amendment Foundation has grown into what many believe to be the most important gun rights organization in America. With hundreds of thousands of active members, it is the Second Amendment Foundation defending your rights in courtrooms across the nation. Winning these battles in local jurisdictions all the way to the Supreme Court requires tireless effort and help from you. Please help the Second Amendment Foundation defend your freedoms by joining or donating today at saf.org. Join us at saf.org. Thank you.
The Super Tuck by Crossbreed Holsters, the most comfortable and concealable holster available on the market today. Is it any wonder why it's the most copied design on the planet, used by law enforcement and civilians around the world? The Super Tuck by Crossbreed is adjustable for ride depth and cant, often imitated but never duplicated. The Super Tuck holster is available for a wide variety of popular carry guns. For more information and to order your Super Tuck, visit CrossbreedHolsters.com. That's CrossbreedHolsters.com.
As Americans, you have the right to bear arms. You also have the right to have and cook great food. Hey, what's up? This is AAR Shanto, and I just launched a great cooking guide. It's called Try This Dish. Why not spice up your dinner? All you got to do is go to irfnews.com. It's chock full of recipes, DIY kitchen tips, everything that's got to do with cooking. That's Try This Dish at irfnews.com. Give it a try today.
Carrying spare magazines is always a great idea. The Crossbreed holster outside the waistband mag carrier is the most comfortable OWB rig on the market today. The Crossbreed mag carrier provides great retention and a high ride, enabling total concealment and immediate access under only a light cover garment. Available for single or dual magazines, these incredibly comfortable magazine carriers may just save your life one day. Crossbreed holsters, often imitated but never duplicated. To order your Crossbreed mag carrier, visit CrossbreedHolsters.com. That's CrossbreedHolsters.com.
And now your host, Mark Walters.
I left you with that XD, that Springfield XD, roaring to life in Marco's hands, sending a 9mm Federal Hydra shock round into the wall just inches away from the prower. I want you to get this picture. You're in a living room, in a condo or an apartment, and you're looking at your front door. And to the left of the front door is the little section of the wall with the light switch on it, about 8 to 10 inches, maybe 12 inches wide. And then to the left of that is the big picture window and a love seat sofa in front of that picture window with sheer curtains behind it. Have you got that visual? It was that strip of drywall between the door and the window that Marco fired a warning shot into. Kaboom! Came the response. Muzzle flash visible to Marco as the loud crack of a Glock answered his warning shot, sending a round flying through the large window, shattering the glass and embedding itself just 6 inches from Marco's head into the wall behind him. Quoting Marco, he told me, He just busted in the window like a rampaging madman. It was like a charging bull, man. He just kept coming, said Marco. The curtains were flying and his arms were going like crazy, shattering the glass and ripping through the curtains like a scene from a horror movie, man, with crazed eyes and a gun in his hand. The intruder plowed over the love seat directly in front of the window. Bam, 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 came the reply from Marco. I just started firing my XD at him. He just kept coming, man. He wouldn't stop. I was firing my gun, just firing without stopping and retreating down the hallway for cover at the same time. I knew I had to be hitting him. It was pitch black, but there was no way I was missing him. But he just wouldn't stop. Pow, 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 repeated shots from the Springfield blazing away, while the mad bull continued his relentless assault towards Marco. Retreating to cover, he found himself alone in his bathroom, his adrenaline raging. Marco could hear Jennifer screaming on the phone with 911. Quoting him, he said to me, I looked down at my gun and was searching for more ammo. I didn't know how many times I fired at him, but I was scared to death he was going to bust in the room, and I was going to have to keep fighting and run out of ammunition. I looked down at the gun and realized the slide wasn't locked back. I knew I had only like one or maybe two rounds left, if that, he said. I lost count. The intruder fell. Marco could hear the sound. Cautiously exiting the bedroom, he walked in to find Emmanuel lying on the floor of his living room, bleeding. Oh, blank, came the sound from the intruder. You can use your imagination. What Marco saw next shocked him. Sitting on the floor, cradling the intruder's head in her lap, was Jennifer, still on the phone with emergency operators, screaming and comforting her estranged husband. Imagine that. That's when I knew it was her ex, he said. Get your gun, he yelled to Jennifer. Get your gun, as Emmanuel lay wounded and bleeding on the living room floor. Fearing his ammunition was low enough to cost them their lives, he realized she couldn't find her gun but had lost it in the bed covers during the commotion. Marco put the muzzle of his XD less than 1 foot from the wounded man's head and yelled at him to give up his gun or he would kill him where he lay. With Emmanuel lying with his hands crossed under his chest face down on the living room carpet, Marco could see him moving his arms in an attempt to reach for what he thought to be a gun. A desperate struggle began, and within a few moments, Jennifer and Marco had taken the Glock from her estranged husband. He told me, he said, Mark, I could see that he was searching for another magazine, and when I took the gun, I noticed it was damaged, and the magazine well was empty. As it turned out, his gun was damaged by one of my shots as he came through the window. His magazine was found by police on the love seat in front of the window. He was looking for his other magazine to reload his gun, Marco said. Within minutes, North Miami police were on the scene. Marco attempted to open the front door, but he couldn't. That's when he realized what the explosions were that had awoken him. He tried to shoot the deadbolt and the doorknob in an attempt to open the door, but it didn't work. Marco continued, and he told me, he says, I guess he watches too much TV. Emmanuel was immediately flown to the local hospital where he received life-saving surgery to repair the wounds to his stomach and lower intestine. Marco had succeeded in hitting him 6 times in the neck and shoulder, 2 rounds to the stomach, groin, and leg. It was Marco's shot to the leg hitting Emmanuel's femur that dropped him to the carpet and ended the assault against Marco in his own home. He was informed immediately by responding police and detectives that there would be no charges against him. He told me that officers actually patted him on the back. Where have we seen that before? Emmanuel was charged with 5 felonies, including 2 attempted murder charges, armed burglary of an occupied dwelling, shooting or throwing a deadly missile in an occupied dwelling, and use of a firearm while committing a felony. Since that event almost ended his life, Marco has moved from the 9mm to the .40 caliber. He never carries less than 2 magazines of ammunition. He has since decided to move on with his life and has left Florida to begin his new life in another state. I can tell you that the last time I spoke with Marco, he had moved to Illinois. He continues to work as a life-saving paramedic, and he and Jennifer are no longer together. A lot going on in that. a lot happening there. The analysis of that by Kathy Jackson of that chapter, which was titled A Cold Day in Hell, reflecting what the estranged husband told the two of them, his estranged wife and her new boyfriend, in a text message, that it would be a cold day in hell, the two of you are together. But there's a lot going on in there. And as I said, I didn't judge Marco as I was reading it or was writing his story and interviewing him. Probably not the relationship to be in at the time, particularly if you know the guy might not have all his screws tightened. But it reminds us, as all of these stories do, that regardless of the circumstances, regardless of where we live, regardless of what we do for a living, regardless of how much money we might make or might not make, there is evil amongst us. It doesn't care about our lives. It doesn't care about disrupting our lives. It doesn't care about the harm that it wants to cause and the results of that harm. It doesn't care that you have parents, a family, wives. In this case, it doesn't care that the woman involved was the woman he had spent years with previously. He didn't care about her well-being. And while I believe the two of them made a mistake, it shouldn't cost them their lives. Evil exists. It walks amongst us. Marco was smart enough to foresee what could happen. He took his own personal defense seriously. As a result, he was prepared, because I can promise you that both of them, probably all three of them, would have died that night. No doubt in my mind. No doubt in his mind. No doubt in her mind. We will never know what the criminal was thinking. You can read those stories in my books, Lessons from Armed America, Lessons from Unarmed America, and you can read some incredible follow-up and analysis by some of the best in the country. Famed female trainer and expert Kathy Jackson in Lessons from Armed America, who followed up my stories with incredible advice and analysis, and Rob Pincus in my book Lessons from Unarmed America. We've come to the end of this day today. I hope you enjoy your Memorial Day. It's always a pleasure to be here talking with you every day. Enjoy the rest of yours. Remember why we're free. And remember, carry on, carry often, carry absolutely everywhere. Never leave your cave without your club. I'll see you tomorrow.
Known as a bad-to-the-bone fighter with a rebel soul and a rock and roll attitude, the Roadhouse from Emerson Knives is destined to be a classic. Designer Ernest Emerson says the Roadhouse is one of his best designs ever. Just like a chopped Harley, it's low slung and ready to roar. It feels like you've just dropped the clutch and it's ready to jump out of your hand. The Roadhouse from Emerson Knives is a must-have tactical folder. Visit EmersonKnives.com. That's EmersonKnives.com.
Hey, what's up? It's AAR Shanto here. Every day you hear the passion that we have for freedoms here in America. I also have other passions, and every week you can check out what that passion is. I've started a new web series. Yes, believe it or not, with all the other things that I have going on, I went and did it. I started a web series, and I think you're going to like it. If you want to see one of my hobbies, all you got to do is check out irfnews.com. That's irfnews.com.
Way too often we hear stories of law-abiding gun owners being labeled as vigilantes and the violent thugs being painted as sweet, harmless kids. Here's the thing. If you own a firearm and are forced to use it to protect your loved ones, your toughest battle might very well happen afterwards in the courtroom. You need to know your rights and understand exactly what happens after the smoke clears. And that's the reason the United States Concealed Carry Association exists. So if you go to defendfamilynow.com, AARShantoHere.com right now, you can download our groundbreaking guide that will arm you with 18 proven strategies for effective self-defense that will help you stay out of jail, out of bankruptcy court, and home with your family when you're forced to defend your loved ones with a gun. This guide is 100% free, and the 18 strategies it contains could very well save your life one day. Simply visit DefendFamilyNow.com to download your 100% free guide. Again, that's DefendFamilyNow.com.